My name is Natalie Woolman. I'm a GFR Mitra with the Auckland Buddhist Centre in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm really pleased to have been asked to join in for this year's International Urban Retreat. And when I saw the title and theme, I thought, wow, that's great, blazing like the sun, what a wonderful description of what metta can be. So I was asked by Vajrajyoti, the chair of the Auckland Buddhist Centre, to contribute because I very recently gave a talk on Dharma Night called Metta, the Wise Protector, as part of a five-week series on the Brahma Viharas. And what I'm offering you is a part of that talk where I explored one of my favourite Buddhist suttas, the Karaniya Metta Sutta. So the Karaniya Metta Sutta originally appeared in written form in the Pali Canon, and Karani means something like let him do. So the story goes that over 2,500 years ago, 500 monks came across a great spot for their three-month rainy season retreat in the foothills of the Himalayas. And the local villagers were really excited to have them there, and they fed them and begged them to stay and spend, you know, all of their retreat there. But the deities that lived in the trees above where the monks were meditating felt a bit put out and didn't want to leave their homes to make way for the monks. So they went to great lengths to frighten the monks away. And the monks became very harassed and distracted by the deities, and they returned to the Buddha for some help to seek a better place to hold their retreat. But instead of helping them to find a new place, the Buddha taught them the Karaniya Metta Sutta, and he urged the monks to return to the forest and recite the sutta for protection and to practice it as a form of meditation. And when the tree deities heard the returning monks reciting the sutta, they were so affected by it that they had a complete change of heart and openly welcomed them back into the forest. So there are many versions of the Karaniya Metta Sutta, and this one is a translation by Ratnaprabha, a Triyatna Buddhist Order member. And it goes like this. If you know what is truly good for you, and you understand the possibility of reaching the state of perfect peace, then this is how you need to live. Start as a capable person who is upright, really upright, gently spoken, flexible, and not conceited. Then become contented and happy, with few worries and an uncomplicated life. Make sure your sense experience is calm and controlled, be duly respectful, and don't hanker after families or groups, and avoid doing anything unworthy that wiser people would criticize. Then meditate like this. May all be happy and feel secure. May all beings become happy in their heart of hearts. And think of every living being without exception, the weak and the strong, from the smallest to the largest, whether you can see them or not, living nearby or far away, beings living now or yet to arise. May all beings become happy in their heart of hearts. May no one deceive or look down on anyone, anywhere, for any reason, whether through feeling angry or through reacting to someone else. May no one want another to suffer. As strongly as a mother, perhaps risking her life, cherishes her child, her only child, develop an unlimited heart for all beings. Develop an unlimited heart of friendliness for the entire universe, sending metta above, below, and all around, beyond all narrowness, beyond all rivalry, beyond all hatred. Whether you are staying in one place or travelling, sitting down or in bed, in all your waking hours rest in this mindfulness, which they say is like living in heaven right here and now. In this way you will come to let go of views, be spontaneously ethical and have perfect insight, and leaving behind craving for sense pleasures, from the realms of rebirth you will finally be completely free. You know, I remember the first time I heard the sutta at the Auckland Buddhist Centre during a festival day years ago. You know, some of the language really moved me and some left me quite confused. And over the years, through studying different aspects of Buddhism, certain passages have become clearer to me and others have simply grown even more beautiful. And what I've noticed is how much of what we offer in the Triyatna Buddhist community is leading us towards understanding the sutta, and how if fully understood, practiced and embodied, it is a doorway to spiritual transformation and awakening. You know, the first part points towards living a simple, uncomplicated and ethical life. It's encouraging us to be calm, capable, flexible and contented. It says that these are the conditions that are conducive to practicing metta and obtaining wisdom. And there's a line further down that you might be wondering about where it says, and don't hanker after families or groups. You know, this is a part that confused me for quite some time. I thought, you know, what does that mean? Is it saying I have to give up my family? And what about the Sangha, the spiritual community? Where do they fit into that? Or don't they? But originally the Metta Sutta was written for wandering monks, and this was highlighting for them especially not to become too reliant on any one family to feed or look after them. You know, today it's more about not depending totally on others for our sense of who we think we are. It is about developing as a true individual who is not wholly dependent on the acceptance of others. But this doesn't mean excluding the family, partners, or the Sangha. And the next part contains one line in particular that always evokes a heartfelt response for me. As strongly as a mother, perhaps risking her life, cherishes her child, her only child, develop an unlimited heart for all beings. You know, those of you who are mothers will perhaps know the depth and power of what has been evoked in those words, the extent to which a mother may be willing to give up her life to protect her child if needed, and how strong that instinct of protection can be. And I know that men can feel it too. You know, I remember when my own now grown-up daughters were babies, and my life totally revolved around tending to their every need, they became my whole world for a time. The purpose of my life was to devote myself totally to the welfare of these tiny human beings, and their helplessness and utter dependency created the most powerful protective instinct I have ever experienced. You know, if we could harness and transform that same inherent power that exists in most of us to sending metta equally to all beings, just imagine how it would be to bathe in the effects of such pure, all-encompassing love. And another line that brings up a feeling of the potential power of metta for me is, develop an unlimited heart of friendliness for the entire universe, sending metta above, below, and all around, beyond all narrowness, beyond all rivalry, beyond all hatred. You know, I had an experience not so long ago where I became acutely aware of my own heartbeat. And at the time I was in a deeply relaxed state and I could feel the rhythm of my own heart beating. And I began to reflect on metta and I realized I had a really strong sense of the near enemy prema or attachment, which can result in great arrow-like wounds for some of us anyway. And as I stayed there with the awareness of the beating of my own heart, I began to feel something far more powerful than prema. I recognized there was something much bigger that totally surpassed it. I realized it was metta and it felt all-encompassing, boundless and unlimited. It felt like a love that transcended for a time all my pains and attachments. And it wasn't just for me alone. It was radiating outwards. The very end of the sutta it says, in this way you will come to let go of views, be spontaneously ethical and have perfect insight, and leaving behind craving for sense pleasures, from the rounds of rebirth you will finally be completely free. Now, this is pointing us towards and beyond the spiral path, to letting go of the fetters of vagueness, superficiality and our sense of a fixed self, towards developing knowledge and vision of how things really are and becoming stream entrants. It is pointing us towards awakening. Practicing metta is a key to discovering enlightenment. It is the wise protector that can guide us all the way through to discovering ultimate reality. You know, our founder, Sangharakshita, says that the metta bhavana is not an elementary exercise and the Karaniya Metta Sutta is dedicated to the highest ideal. The cultivation of metta is a strong foundation for the development of insight. And yet we can so easily underestimate the importance of metta, and it is only when we really experience it that we realize the difference between true metta and our usual emotions. We have to find whatever spark or seed we can within ourselves and encourage it to grow. You know, we've had discussions here on Dharma nights at the Auckland Buddha Center and during meditation forums and classes of how we can do this, you know, how we can create the spark. And we each have to work with our own innate creativity to activate that within us. We have to use our imaginations. And people have shared some really inspiring ways of how they do this, from looking down from above at themselves as small children, to allowing the sounds of the ocean to bring them into a state of calm as a starting point for generating metta for themselves and others. And you know, this is something I've struggled with myself over the years and have also turned outside of myself at times for inspiration to spark the flame of metta, only to find that there was no difference between the outer and the inner. And I wrote a short poem about this not so long ago in the middle of winter. It's simply called Metta. Sometimes when kindness eludes me, I turn my imagination towards the sun. Like a flower turns towards light on a cold winter's day, I allow rays of luminous warmth to enter softly, seeping through my skin, glowing through my breath, stirring my sleeping heart, and then, gently, I fan the boundless flame of metta back into life. Now I'm going to finish with a few wise words from my good friend and teacher, Taran Arthur, who taught many Introduction to Buddhism classes at the Auckland Buddhist Centre over a period of something like 28 years. Now, Taran Arthur is now suffering from a terminal illness and is pretty much housebound these days. But I like to go and visit him when I can, and he's always more than happy to talk Dharma with me. This is his description of metta that he sent to me not so long ago. Metta is energy, the energy of universal love. Kindness is action, the activity of universal love. That being so, conscious practice of either develops both together. In practice, I would guess that they merge, and there is no profit in trying to deal with them separately. He also told me on another visit, kindness is the activity of metta. The practice of kindness generates metta. The awareness of metta is expressed in kindness, and kindness lifts us over the prison wall of self. He said that we imprison ourselves with a notion of our identity, and metta lifts us over the prison wall of self. So that's all I can offer you in this short talk for now, but I leave you with this. Find that seed of metta within you. Use your imagination whatever way you can to fan it into life. Let it glow. Let it shine. Let it blaze like the sun.